Hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to the Long Live Hollywood podcast. My name is Aaron. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for choosing to listen to this podcast. God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, this episode is very special. It's different. It's unique. This episode is all about anime. All about anime. And not only that, I have my very first guest on the show, my good friend, Larry. How's it going, Larry?
Hello, how's everyone doing? Doing quite well, actually.
I'm a huge fan of anime, but Larry, he is the bigger, much bigger fan of anime. He goes to every convention. I've been to a couple. I've been to, there's this convention called Yomacon that happens in Michigan. I've been to the one in 2009, 2010, and I think 13. Larry, how many conventions have you been to?
Ooh, it's honestly a really difficult question at this point. I've been to so many, I can't even remember at this point. However, I work for Yomacon, but I have actually been going to that one since 2008. Yeah, I haven't actually missed one since, I have never actually missed one since I started going.
Yeah, that's pretty insane.
Actually, I just remembered something. In my closet, I have these hooks. They were supposed to be meant for my hats. However, I've started putting my con badges on there, and I want to say lanyard and badges combined. I want to say the thing is probably about a good 2-3 pounds with nothing but convention badges from over the years.
That's kind of cool. That's pretty cool. Like I said, folks, this episode is all about anime. When I was first creating this podcast, I knew I had to get Larry on the show. I wanted to have a conversation with Larry specifically about anime. I wanted to pick his brain a little bit. So this episode is really personal for me. This is fun for me. So first things first, Larry. Mm-hmm. When was the first time that you discovered anime?
I think I may have been about 7 years old? I believe it was 7 years old. So I remember when I was a kid, I was watching cartoons and I decided to change the channel. I think I remember being really, really early in the morning or something like that, because that was the thing I did. I got up to watch cartoons. I mean, on like a Saturday morning, that makes perfect sense for a kid at my age at that time. But anyway, I saw Dragon Ball, and I didn't know it was Dragon Ball at the time. I didn't know what it was. I was just looking, I'm like, what is this? Like, this, it looks different from pretty much anything I've ever watched. Mm-hmm. And there's something really special about it. I don't know what it is, but it's just like, everything about this was like way better than anything I had previously watched before. And at that point, I knew, I need to see more of this. I must know what this is. And unfortunately for me at the time, I could not figure out what it was. And the reason for that was because, I don't know if you are a millennial, you probably know what this is. If you're younger, then you probably won't know what the TV Guide channel was.
Wow. Yes. Wow.
So essentially what happened was that what the TV Guide channel is, it's like, it's a channel you have to literally turn to, and it scrolls, and it shows you what's on. And because Dragon Ball was going on off at the time, there was no way I could actually catch to see what it was.
So, this is true.
Yep. I remember like it was yesterday. The TV Guide channel is truly a gem of that time period.
Do you remember the episode you were watching? The Dragon Ball episode?
Oh, you know, I think I do, actually. It's crazy enough. Goku finally shot off his very first Kamehameha, and he destroyed, I think it was it Master Roshi's car? I think it was Master Roshi's car. I'm sure anyone out there who recognizes scenes from Dragon Ball, they probably know exactly what I'm talking about in that particular episode. But that is the earliest thing I remember as far as Dragon Ball goes, is Goku destroying someone's car at the very end, learning the Kamehameha.
So I've seen a little bit of Dragon Ball, but I didn't watch the series straight through in order, meaning that I would watch an episode 5 here, and then a 7, and then a 9, and then a 12 kind of thing. not in order. And I do hear that Piccolo is the main villain. Is Piccolo the main villain in Dragon Ball?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Piccolo was a villain.
What was his intentions? Why was he so evil? I only know good Piccolo from Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, it's been so long. I cannot entirely remember exactly what it is, to be honest with you. You know what? I think I just remembered something. I think it might have actually been the fight against Raditz that, like, started to change him. I believe that's what it was. It's just been a while, so, you know, it's a little bit foggy. That's all.
My first anime memory. I remember coming home from school one day. I went down into the basement, and my brother was watching Ninja Scroll. So I sat down on the couch right beside him with my backpack and jacket on, and I began to watch Ninja Scroll. About 15 minutes later, there was this scene, this character, Tessai. I believe that's his name, Tessai, the guy that can harden his skin like a rock, and he had that double blade weapon kind of thing. There was this scene where he encountered a ninja. He ripped the arms off of this ninja, both arms at the same time, ripped them off, blood everywhere. And then Tessai took one of the arms and drunk the blood from the arm. So he held the arm up like a goblet, and from the shoulder part of the arm leaked out blood that he drunk, and it just trickled down his throat like Gatorade. That was insane.
So essentially, it's like blowing your collective 8-year-old mind.
Yes, absolutely. I'm coming from shows like Rugrats, Hey Arnold, Chip and Dale, Rocket Power. Ninja Scroll is something completely different. Not only do you have the violence, you also have the nudity, the sex, all over the top, crazy stuff. I didn't really own Ninja Scroll until much later. Here's a fun memory. Circuit City. Do you remember Circuit City?
Yes, I do, but it's just like, I swear I remember you mentioning this is what it's like. I'm just really sitting here like thinking like this almost sounds familiar.
For those of you who are unaware of what we're talking about, Circuit City was a retail chain that went head-to-head with Best Buy. They sold the exact same stuff, I think. In my opinion, they were kind of the same store. I think their prices were different. I don't know. But yeah, Circuit City was Best Buy's competition. And Circuit City, they went out of business a long time ago. But anyway, I had to talk my mom into getting Ninja Scroll. She was at Circuit City. I was at home. We were on the phone. She was in the movie department looking all through the movies. She didn't know what anime was, so it was kind of hard for her to really know what to get. She picked up a movie and she said, okay, this is called Ninja Scroll. I think this is what you want. Then I said, okay, now read the synopsis. Jubei is a ninja, Kikero, and it was Ninja Scroll. Then I said, okay, that's it. Go ahead and buy it. I did not want her to look at the rating. Rated R for violent sexual content and all that stuff. I wanted her to get the movie and go home. I talked my mom. I'm a 10-year-old kid. I talked my mom into buying a very violent, over-the-top adult movie. And that's how I got Ninja Scroll.
Wow. You, my good sir, you had a lot of balls for a 10-year-old. You had a lot of balls, because there'd be no way in hell. Oh, good Lord, there'd be no way in hell I could get that past my parents.
Actually, I got another story for you. Let me tell you how I got Ghost in the Shell. So my mom took me to the mall one day, and at the mall, there was this tiny store. Think of it as a comic book store that sold everything but the comics. So you have your toys, your posters, your figurines, literally everything but the comics, right? They had an impressive selection of anime, and obviously they had Ghost in the Shell, the special edition. I grabbed the movie, took it to my mom, and I told her, this is what I want. She looked at it. She was immediately put off, and her face twisted up like, I don't know about this. Because the cover was a a picture of the major, the main character, who was naked with her arm censoring her chest holding a gun. She was naked. Her and I had a little bit of a back and forth. I told her, this is what I want. I've been wanting to see this movie for a long time. And she said, I don't know. And then we took the movie, brought it up to the register, and the guy behind the register said, this movie is very mature. It has nudity, basically warning my mother. They had a little bit of a back and forth, and I'm just kind of standing there. Eventually, she said, I'm just going to buy it. I'll buy it for him. And I got the movie. I still got the same special edition DVD to this day. And that's how I got Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah, you're lucky.
Yeah.
It reminds me of the time I got my uncle to buy me Manhunt on PlayStation 2. I pulled that off. It's a miracle.
You know, I actually have Manhunt. I still haven't played it a day of my life, and I still got it.
You really need to play that game. It's amazing. It's amazing for all the right reasons. It's a very controversial game. Yeah, you really need to play it.
Yeah, I remember it was a big deal coming out. Okay, one anime that we can both agree on is Dragon Ball Z.
Indeed.
Okay. Did you see Dragon Ball Z all the way from the beginning, or did you drop in on a season? How did you discover, man, Dragon Ball Z?
From the very beginning, from the first episode, yes. I remember it. I remember it was before Goku ever met Raditz. All the way from the beginning, yep. And eventually we started getting up there and up there and up there. And I started remembering till we got to the point where, let's see. I remember for certain we were at the point when Goku was fighting Frieza and he went Super Saiyan for the first time. I remember that. I remember it. During the time period when it was on Toonami, because that's pretty much how everybody got introduced to Dragon Ball Z.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, Toonami was a blessing.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Oh, Jesus, that was a blessing. Anyway, so...
At a moment.
So, when it came to Dragon Ball Z, during that time period, I think I was in the, what was it, at the fourth, fifth grade? It was something like that. It was like fourth or fifth grade. All the boys were in Dragon Ball Z. Like, every day, they would talk about Dragon Ball Z. Every episode, we would talk about it. What happens, what we think is going to happen,
mm-hmm.
all sorts of stuff like that. And I vividly remember this, and this was, I got the definitive Dragon Ball Z experience. By that, I mean... There was this one part of the neighborhood I go into where there's like a cul-de-sac. And me and the rest of the boys, you know, we'd all do like outside activities, ride bikes around. They play basketball. I didn't really like playing basketball. But anyway, they would do that stuff. And then as soon as we see that it's about 4:50 or something like that, we all pick someone's house to go to and we all go watch Dragon Ball Z. that was the best way to do it. Like, just watching it with all the boys in the neighborhood. Yes. And I remember, I think it was Joshua Harley, one of the guys in my class.
I remember Joshua. I remember that guy.
I remember we were at his house. And I think at the time, that's when we were watching the episode where, it was around the time period where Goku went Super Saiyan for the very first time.
Yeah, that changed the game.
Yes, and like that, you could only imagine the conversations we were having. Like, that was just like blowing our minds. This is like he's going Super Saiyan. Yes. Ah, man. Like, and it continued on with, like, even when I wasn't with the guys, like, I still watched it. I remember all the way to the Majin Buu saga. Yeah, I got all the way up to the Majin Buu saga, and I don't want to keep going any further because I don't want to spoil anything, because I know you mentioned you didn't finish the whole thing.
Yes, this is true, ladies and gentlemen. I still haven't finished Dragon Ball Z. I've seen Dragon Ball Z from the Raditz saga all the way up to the middle of Majin Buu. To be specific, the last episode that I have seen was when Majin Vegeta cheap shot Goku from behind, that cheap hit that knocked him out. That was it. I still don't know who beat Majin Buu.
Well, if you ask me, I'd say sounds like a good excuse to watch some more Dragon Ball Z and, you know, continue from where you were back then.
Maybe I'll go back in and finally finish Dragon Ball Z, because I do own that season, the Majin Buu season. I do know that Vegito gets involved, the Goku and Vegeta fusion, and also the Trunks and Goten fusion, Gotenks. I do know the characters. Maybe I'll finish it one day. Maybe one day. And I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
What is your favorite fight, Dragon Ball Z fight? Between what characters?
Oh, man.
For example, mine is the Goku and Frieza fight, and also Gohan versus Cell.
Ooh, it'd easily have to be those two. That particular fight was really something. Really enjoyed that. It's like, yeah, those were, it's just like childhood. I remember that, just watching that fight, and it's like just blowing our minds how awesome that was.
Mm-hmm. It was like a Mike Tyson fight.
Oh, yes. Very much so. Glued to the TV.
Let's see. My very first Dragon Ball Z memory. Dragon Ball Z. I remember my family and I, we went to my brother's job. We picked him up from work. It was extremely late at night. I was in the back of the car, half asleep. He gets into the car and he hands me a bag. Inside the bag was a baseball glove, something I actually wanted. And also, there was a copy of Dragon Ball Z, the very first volume. At that time, I didn't know what Dragon Ball Z was. I used to watch Dragon Ball, so Dragon Ball Z, it immediately rung a bell. Like, okay, this looks like something that's similar to Dragon Ball. I'm a big fan of Dragon Ball. I popped it in when I got home, probably the next day. I was extremely tired that night. I popped it in. The very first thing that struck me was the fact that Goku was an adult. That blew me away. At first, I didn't know who he was. I said, is that Goku? And then Krillin and Master Roshi is like, hey, Goku. I'm like, that's Goku? And then I saw Gohan. He has a son? Like, what is going on here? And then the introduction of Raditz and the big reveal that Raditz is Goku's brother. All that blew me away. All of that blew me away. And then Piccolo comes into the scene, and Piccolo's telling Goku, like, we need to team up and take this guy down. Like, Piccolo was once his arch nemesis, and now he's teaming up with Goku to take on Raditz. And that big Raditz fight was insane. Kamehamehas and fast fights and all that, all this, these explosions, crazy stuff. Piccolo losing his arm, that shocked me, and then he regrew it back, and when Goku, he held up Raditz as a shield for Piccolo's special beam cannon that went through Raditz, went through Goku, killed them both. Man, I ain't gonna lie, I cried. Yeah, that was my very first introduction into Dragon Ball Z. And then I picked it up on television. On television, I started off with, I dropped in on the Namek saga. With Gohan and his bowl cut hair and everything. From that point on, I was hooked on Dragon Ball Z. And I can relate with you when you said that you watched it over your friend's house and you guys kind of watched it together. That was the kind of experience I had, especially with the Frieza saga. Me and my oldest brother, we would watch it like a boxing match. When Goku was fighting Frieza, we were just crowd around that TV like we're watching Mike Tyson, you know. And the funny thing was, we had the clock that was sitting on top of the TV.
Mm-hmm.
The shows are 30 minutes long. And as like Goku and Frieza are talking to each other, you know, just saying like, I'm going to beat you up, blah, blah, blah. We were looking at the time like, then fight. You got about 15 more minutes, and it's Friday. I'm not paying till Monday.
Like,
somebody throw something out. Like, And then it's like, what, 5:28, you got two minutes to go. You're like, oh my God, like what's going to happen? All of a sudden, don't.
Yeah, that's exactly what you're talking about with that, too.
Goku is about to fight Frieza. Will he beat him? Will he throw out a Kamehameha? Find out time on Dragon Balls. Ain't gonna what? You gotta wait 2 days.
That drives.
I used to hate that.
Hearing when the guy came on to talk about it drives me absolutely up the wall.
And especially if you're not watching the time, you're just into it. You're seeing the fights and you're seeing the Kamehamehas and everything, and all of a sudden, dong, ch. You're like, man.
Disappointed. I have been disappointed so very many times hearing it. Like, we all were.
Yeah, especially if it's one of those episodes where they do nothing but talk and it's just a filler. You just want them to fight. Man. Yeah, Dragon Ball Z. I believe everybody watched Dragon Ball Z. No matter how old you were, Dragon Ball Z was Game of Thrones for kids.
And all the boys watched it.
Yeah, and some girls. I knew some girls that got down with Dragon Ball Z, too.
Everybody's first introduction to anime.
Yeah. Dragon Ball Z. I think, realistically, Vegeta should be the strongest. Realistically, I'm not talking about story-wise. Goku does not train like Vegeta. And somehow Goku is stronger. I think that's just for the sake of the story. What do you think? Have you... Like, I haven't finished Dragon Ball Z, so I don't know what goes on in GT or Super, even though I did see Dragon Ball Resurrection F with Frieza and Battle of the Gods with Beerus. Do you think that Vegeta should be stronger than Goku realistically versus story-wise?
It does line up and make sense. It does. However, I feel like the reason that it's probably the way it is because Goku's floor potential, like for to actually be more powerful, is probably just higher than Vegeta's. I don't know why that would be. You know, it's just like, it's like when you have, let's see, I need something to compare this with. It's kind of like when you take a car like mine, you know, like I have a 4-cylinder engine, but, you know, there's a six-cylinder Toyota Camry. Okay, so you can have a 4-cylinder and a 6-cylinder, but the thing is, the fact that one of these has more potential to be more powerful, which is going to be the 6-cylinder. You know, like they can be the exact just as powerful as each other, but you can get more power out of the 6-cylinder versus the 4 overall if you really tried. I guess if that makes any sense. Sorry, I don't really know a better way to describe it right about now. but yeah, I think it just has something to do with just his potential being just higher, Goku's, that is. That's the only thing I can think of it possibly being.
Nothing against Goku, but I really think it's fan service. They really want Goku to be, first of all, they want him to be the main character. Originally, Dragon Ball Z's main character was going to be Gohan. I don't know why it went to Goku, and I think because Goku is the star of the show, they want Goku to be the strongest. And I think realistically, it should be Vegeta, hands down. As a kid, even though I did see some anime here and there, you were the big Toonami guy. Only thing I saw on Toonami was Dragon Ball Z. You watched the Gundam Wing, the Rōnin Kenshin, the Yu Yu Hakusho, and all that. Mm-hmm. I didn't start watching anime religiously until you introduced me to Death Note, and that was the change that I needed. The anime that I was watching, they were all good, but it was all about action. Death Note almost had no action. It was all about dialogue. It was about trying to understand the mystery and, Death Note. It was a thriller. That was the change I needed, and that motivated me to look for more anime that didn't really have not only action, but just something different. Death Note made me look for different things, and that's how I got into Studio Ghibli. And the funny thing about Ghibli, I saw it at Target, this movie, Howl's Moving Castle. I thought it was a Disney movie because it said Disney on the case. But at the time, I believe Ghibli was distributed by Disney, and that was the confusion. So Howl's Moving Castle was amazing. And then I also checked out Princess Mononoke. A lot of people like Princess Mononoke. I like it, but it's not a top tier favorite of mine. I do own every Ghibli movie from Spirited Away to Howl's Moving Castle to Kiki's Delivery Service. But my favorite has always been When Marnie Was There. I haven't seen every Ghibli movie, which is kind of shocking. Yeah, but When Marnie Was There is my favorite Ghibli movie and also one of my favorite anime movies in general. So, Larry, you did mention that Dragon Ball was your introduction into anime, the first time that you were exposed to anime. What anime made you watch anime religiously? At what point did you become a religious fan?
I had to say pretty much Toonami, because it was the only way I could watch anime. Like, yeah, it was pretty much the only way I could watch anime before I discovered my main source of actually getting it. Because at that point we had we had Gundam Wing, G Gundam, Uroni Kenshin, I can't think of the name of some of the other shows right about now. But yeah, that was pretty much my go-to. That's pretty much most people's go-to at the time. Because it was free, came on TV. Well, still actually does come on TV. I discovered recently. Didn't know that, though. But yeah.
And I think you left out Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah, I wouldn't normally leave it out, but it's like there was just so many different shows I could go on. I could go on for a bit more as far as what they had.
Did you know that I just now checked out Cowboy Bebop last year?
Wow, that's like you're dropping the ball. Wow, that's a really good anime. I don't know how you're doing just now.
That's because, you know, the pandemic started, and I had all this time on my hand, and I just told myself this is the perfect time to check out Cowboy Bebop, the series and the movie, and I did just that last year. I didn't watch it on Toonami. I didn't watch it 5-10 years ago. Literally last year was when I checked out Cowboy Bebop and the movie for the first time. The show was amazing. The movie is amazing. And yeah, Cowboy Bebop. And let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. What anime is your favorite soundtrack? From what anime?
There's a few, honestly. I had to say, you know what? I'm going to put it like this. It's not any particular anime to say for certain, but the musician Yoko Kanno, because she makes the music for Cowboy Bebop, Darker Than Black, and a couple other animes I can't quite name right now because I don't remember the names of them, but she makes really amazing music, and it's in numerous animes that I really like, and Darker Than Black and Cowboy Bebop is two of those.
For me, it's between Cowboy Bebop and anything from Studio Ghibli. I listen to those soundtracks literally almost every day, and I listen to a lot of I listen to a bunch of Studio Ghibli this morning. That's usually, the music that I listen to every morning. It's literally my wake up music. And what I like to do sometimes, I will go on to Spotify and see if I can find some piano versions of Ghibli music. That's been kind of my thing, too. It's a good way to wake up. And also at my job, we are allowed to listen to music. And it's nothing like listening to Ghibli music while I work. I love Ghibli music. Here's a question for you, Larry. Mm-hmm. anime from the 80s and 90s, that era, versus anime today. Do you prefer older anime, like your Ghost in the Shell, Akira, and your Ninja Scroll? Or do you prefer the Attack on Titans and, you know, old anime versus new? Do you prefer new stuff or old stuff? And what do you think is the artistic difference? Is there a story difference? Old versus new anime.
It's a real toss-up between that one, those two. I mean, I do like the newer stuff, don't get me wrong. And I really like both of them because they both... It's really difficult for me to choose between. Because they both have their differences that make them unique and awesome, like the older stuff, for example. You have the older drawing techniques, a lot of stuff you don't see nowadays. Like, for example, I actually, a couple of months back, I saw clips, bits and pieces from Aeon Flux, the anime, on VHS on a CRT. And it looks so different. And it was just something about it. It looked crisp and clean. I know this kind of sounds kind of weird since it's coming from a VHS, but there's something about it that is just, it looks so dramatically different from pretty much anything you can watch nowadays. It's like they definitely have their artistical differences, and there's something about either one that it's like I can't deny they're both really good. It's really difficult for me to really decide between which one, honestly.
One thing about the older stuff, I feel that there were movies that were ahead of its time. You know, for example, Ghost in the Shell. Ghost in the Shell really spoke to cinema in general, not just anime. Without Ghost in the Shell, The Matrix wouldn't have existed. I don't think today's anime today, speaks to Hollywood like it once did in the past. Hollywood, a cinema, they're looking at anime for live action purposes. What anime can I turn into a live action movie? I think that's one of the differences with today's anime versus the past anime. I will say this about today's anime. It looks a lot more pretty, a lot more gorgeous. A lot of that stuff looked like paintings come to life. I think anime has come a long way in terms of how beautiful it can be, what it looks like. Anime looks a lot more beautiful than it did in the past.
Okay. I got a question for you.
What's your question?
So, Aaron, you got to tell us, what animes are you keeping under the bed? you got to tell us, what guilty pleasures are you keeping under the bed? Are you hiding from us that you're not telling us about?
Wow. You're going to go there.
Oh, I got to.
When you say guilty pleasure, are you talking about something like Sailor Moon?
Well, yeah, it can definitely be stuff like that. I don't know. It could be things that are, you know, a little bit saucy, a little bit, girly. Things that we, you know, people look at a guy like you and be like, you watch that? I'm like, I'm sorry, what?
Okay. I'm a huge fan of Girls Bravo.
Ah, man.
Huge fan.
And on top of that, I am too. It is an amazing anime.
Yeah, and I believe you turned me on to that series.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And I said yes, it is. Yes, I am. That is definitely one that I think today's society is a little bit too PC for. That anime was truly something.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
It was funny, too.
Oh, boy. The uncensored version of that anime is glorious.
I haven't seen it in a long time.
Yeah, it needs to be rewatched. You see, actually, this is a perfect time to rewatch it because it's been so long. It's probably been almost 10 years or more.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually the first time. Yes, when it comes to watching anime and having it be a long time, just one little quick bit. Coming back to it like 10 years later, totally different experience. Yeah, I just want to put that on the table real quick, though. But, so, girls' problem. I can totally understand it. Anything else?
You know, I don't have too many guilty pleasures, but I will say I do like the main character in Sekire, Musubi. I think she's kind of nice. And also, I guess you can throw in High School of the Dead. Yeah, I remember when I saw it was kind of nice, yes.
That was a good one. Yeah, I remember. I watched that whole thing. I've got a couple. Okay. You haven't watched this. You haven't seen it. But boy, oh boy, when you look it up, you're going to be like, for real? The anime. There's three of them. Chobits.
Mm-hmm.
Peach Girl.
Peach Girl.
Yeah. Oh. he's already just like, oh boy. And Interspecies Reviewers before. Oh God. Why did they have to cancel that one? It was a borderline hentai. We won't get into details, but we'll just say it was a borderline hentai. It was great. Yeah, it was great. It was really good. And then they wouldn't cancel it. That's a good sign. The fact that they canceled this anime, that alone speaks volumes. This must be good if they canceled it. I'm just telling you, that alone, the fact that they canceled it, should make you want to watch this anime alone. Just put that out there. Just put that on the table. But besides that, Peach Girl, I'm going to let you look that up on your own. Chobits, it's scary. I'm going to let you look both of those up on
now,
your own.
Chobits, I think I know what you're talking about. Chobits, I have seen a poster. You know, the anime poster of Chobits.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds very familiar. Peach Girls, you got me.
I will definitely say Chobits, lots of pink. Lots of, it looks like a really, it was definitely an anime I could recommend to younger girls to watch. but it's really good, though. It is really good. It has one of the best outro songs I've ever heard in anime. It sounds really sad, but it's a really good outro song. It is particularly the second one. Besides those three, I could think of more, but I don't want to have us on here all day.
Yeah, that was a very interesting topic that came out of nowhere. Cool.
Yeah, I just want to say, next time we do one of these, I'm going to expect to hear a few things out of you. I'm going to expect that you probably look those animes up and you have things to say.
Absolutely. I will definitely check out those shows. And thank you for coming on this show. This has been so fun. I knew I had to get you on this show. You're going to have to come back. Maybe we'll do some reviews in the future. Something anime related. Definitely. With all that being said, ladies and gentlemen, that is a wrap. Thank you for tuning in to the Long Live Hollywood podcast. My name is Aaron. Be safe out there. Love each other. Do nice things for each other. And good things will come to you. I promise you. Take care now. Have a good one.
I'm out here as well. See you all around.